I'd love to know. But in the meantime, Daisy, do you know where she came from? Yes. She doesn't crack a smile, but her shoulders unwind slightly. Actually, she's number 263 from Emmett Moore Limited, a dairy factory out near Dunstable. Or rather, she was 263 until 3 days ago. She was getting along a bit, so they sold her to a local slaughterhouse along with a job lot of 7 other cows. I followed up on the other 7, and they'll be showing up in your McHappy McMeal sometime next month. But not Daisy. Seems a passing farmer in a Range Rover with a wagon behind it dropped by and asked if he could buy her and cart her away for his local family butcher to deal with. Aha! And if you believe that, I've got a bridge to sell you. She takes a sip of her coffee, winces, and strafes it with sweetness again. Responding on autopilot, I try a mouthful of my own and burn my tongue. Turns out that there's no such Farmer Giles of Ham Farm, Bag End, the Shire on record. Mind you, they had a camera on their stockyard and we nailed the Range Rover. It turned up abandoned the next day on the outskirts of Leeton Buzzard, and it's flagged as stolen on Holmes 2. Right now, it's sitting in the pound down the road. They smoked it for prints, but it came up clean, and we don't have enough money to send a Sarco and a forensics team to do a full workup on every stolen car we run across. However, if you twist my arm and promise me a budget, and to go to the mat with my boss, I'll see what I can lay on. That may not be necessary. We have ways and means, but can you get someone to drive me down there? I'll take some readings and get out of your face, except for the business with Daisy. How are you covering that? Oh, we'll find something. Right now it's filed under F for fucking Fortean freakery, but I was thinking of announcing it's just an old animal that had been dumped illegally by a farmer who didn't want to pay to have it slaughtered. That sounds about right. I nod slowly. Now, I'd like to play a random word association game with you, okay? 10 seconds. When I say the words, tell me what you think of, right? She looks puzzled. Is this... Listen. Case Nightmare Green Scorpion Stare Maginot Blue Stars. By the authority vested in me by the emissaries of Yagonj Nahai, I have the power to bind and to release, and your tongue be tied of these matters of which we have spoken until you hear these words again. Case Nightmare Green Scorpion Stare Maginot Blue Stars. Got that? She looks at me cross-eyed and mouths something. Then looks increasingly angry, until finally she gets it together to burst out with, "Hey, what is this shit?" "Purely a precaution," I say, and she glares at me, gobbling for a moment while I finish my coffee, until she figures out that she simply can't say a word about the subject. "Right," I say. "Now, you've got my permission to announce that the cow was dumped. You have my permission to talk freely to me, but to nobody else. Anyone asks any questions, refer them to me if they won't take no for an answer. This goes for your boss, too. Feel free to tell them that you can't tell them, nothing more." "Wanker," she hisses, and if looks could kill, I'd be a small pile of smouldering ashes on the interview room floor. "Hey, I'm under a gesh, too. If I don't spread it around, my head will explode." I don't know whether she believes me or not, but she stops fighting it and nods tiredly. "Tell me what you want, then get the hell out of my patch." I want a lift to the car pound, a chance to sit behind the wheel of that Range Rover, a book of poetry, a jug of wine, a date tree, and... sorry, wrong question. "Can you manage it?" She stands up. "I'll take you there myself," she says tersely. We go. I get to endure 25 minutes of venomous silence in the back seat of an unmarked patrol car, driven by one Constable Routledge, with D.I. Sullivan in the front passenger seat, treating me with the warmth due a serial killer, before we arrive at the pound. I'm beyond introspective self-loathing by now. You lose it fast in this line of work. Angleton will have my head for a keyring fob if I don't take care to silence any possible leaks, and a tongue-twisting gesh is more merciful than most of the other tools at my disposal, but I still feel like a shit. So it comes as a great relief to get out of the car and stretch my legs on the muddy gravel parking lot in the pouring rain. "So where's the car?" I ask innocently. Josephine ignores me. "Bill, you want to head over to Bletchley Way and pick up Dougal's evidence bag for the Hayes case, then come back to pick us up. she tells the driver. To the civilian security guard. You, we're looking for BY476ERB. Came in yesterday, Range Rover. Where is it? The bored security goon leads us through the mud and a maze of cars with police aware stickers glued to their windshields, then gestures at a half-empty row. That's it? Josephine asks as he passes her a set of keys. Okay, you can piss off now. He takes one look at her face and beats a hasty retreat. I half wish I could join him. Whether she's a detective inspector or not, and therefore meant to be behaving with the gravitas of a senior officer in public, D.I. Sullivan looks to be in a mood to bite the heads off chickens, or laundry field agents, given half an excuse. Right, that's it, she says, holding out the keys and shaking them at me impatiently. You're done, I take it, so I'll be pushing off. Case meeting to run, mystery shopping center pisser to track down, and so on. Not so fast. I glance round. The pound is surrounded by a high-wire fence, and there's a decrepit porter cabin office out front by the gate. A camera sits on a motorized mount on a pole sticking up from the roof. Who's on the other end of that thing? The gate guard, probably, she says, following my finger. The camera is staring at the entrance, unmoving. Okay, why don't you open up the car? She blips the remote to unlock the door, and I keep my eyes on the camera as she takes the handle and tugs. Could I be wrong, I wonder, as the rain trickles down my neck. I shake myself when I notice her staring. Then I pull out my palm top, clamber up into the driver's seat, and balance the pocket computer on the steering wheel as I tap out a series of commands. What I see makes me shake my head. Whoever stole the car may have wiped for fingerprints, but they didn't know much about paranormal concealment. They didn't use the shroud from a suicide or get a paranoid schizophrenic to drive. The scanner is sensitive to heavy emotional echoes, and the hands I'm looking for are the most recent ones to have chilled from fright and fear of exposure. I log everything and put it away, and I'm about to open the glove locker when something makes me glance at the main road beyond the chain-link fence and... Watch out! Get down! I jump out and go for the ground. Josephine is looking around.